I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
It's Puckle!
Puckle!
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah!
Puckle!
Puckle!
And welcome to the 469th episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatch, and I am here with my stuffed co-host, Dr. Shamu.
Hello.
And R Sigma.
Howdy.
Happy post-Thanksgiving for those of you in the United States. Happy past Thursday for everybody else in the United in the world. welcome to the final episode of November. This is episode 469 of the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name I came up with in 2007. We talk everything Pokemon from the video game to the trading card game to everything in between. And we got a good show for you today. I'm pretty excited. This is the show, I will note, is being recorded earlier than we typically record the show. We typically record the show on Saturday mornings. But due to the Thanksgiving holiday in the U.S., we have decided to move that forward just a bit to Tuesday. So this is being recorded the day after the last show was released. So do pardon some inconsistencies, like if they decided they were going to drop DLC 2 news like on Thursday for some reason.
The Thumb News 2, that's like...
No, I know what my fear is. I put it in the news segment. It's fine.
There was one thing I saw online. It was, I saw it on Facebook, the land of very true news. I saw it on Facebook today and I was just like, oh man, I didn't think this would happen, but people are looking too much into it. So the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Isn't there no spectators? Or
there's no spectators. Some of it's like pre-recorded.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, it's really weird this year.
That's jank.
Yeah, well, they like have like Broadway performances. Like, you know how they would do like a scene from Broadway like at some point in between? Like, I think they pre-recorded some of those. It's really weird. Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, by the time they're listening to it, they've already seen it. But yeah, it is weird. But one of the things, they're still doing the balloons. I imagine they just like inflate the balloons like right off camera and then just walk across with them. the Pikachu balloon's going to be there.
Mm.
And with the Pikachu balloon, they also have like a bunch of Pikachu costume people. And they're just like, they're going to dance. And they're just like, oh, you're going to be really excited to see why they're there, blah, blah, blah. And it's comicbook.com, unsurprisingly. That's just like, this could mean there's a big reveal coming on at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. No. I'm like, no. They just want you to watch the dancing Pikachus.
There was a bit of a leak this week, but it's nothing worth the topic over. So it's
Yeah. I did see that.
It's like, oh, there's 4 games coming out next year. It's like, okay.
Yeah, none of it's surprising, by the way.
Right. And it's like, yeah, Pokemon Unite, Detective Pikachu 2, Pokemon Snap, and a remake. It's like, okay, that's everything people predicted. So,
except it's gonna be,
I don't,
it's gonna be
Detective Pikachu
a,
2.
It's gonna be a backdoor launch to Pokemon Sleep. It's gonna be available following the Pikachu dance on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm.
That way, you can eat your turkey and then get points for your Thanksgiving nap.
What is it, Terrafin?
It'll launch when everyone's sleeping that night because they're already passed out from overstuffing themselves.
I'm pretty excited, actually. I'm pretty excited. I want some pumpkin pie, man. I'm pretty like excited for the pumpkin pie. The pumpkin pie's got me excited. I want literally everything, man. I'm pretty excited for that. I want to see the Pikachu dance on Thanksgiving Day.
Mm.
I hope everybody's being safe on Thanksgiving Day. And they are properly not catching COVID. I hope that's a thing. But that's just me. Yeah, hopefully.
Is there still a Power Rangers float or no?
What do you mean? I don't know if that's a thing or not. I honestly haven't paid attention for the past few years.
I was gonna say, I feel like they pushed it back when Power Rangers were with Disney, maybe, and then I
could see that. Then it passed back to not Hasbro. It passed back to Saban. And then Saban sold to Hasbro.
Yeah.
So Power Rangers is now owned by the same company that owns D&D. Fun fact: I'm waiting for an official Power Rangers D&D.
You're waiting for a tabletop, yeah?
They did it for a little bit, actually. There was a stream that was it was called Power Rangers Hyper Force, and they did tabletop Power Rangers. The problem was they never published the system.
Oh.
So yeah, right. So anytime there were rules, I don't know if it was just we're making this up or what. Like, I don't know that Power Rangers Hyper Force had any rules that were real.
It probably had like a loose baseline, then like probably went off of like possible like D&D interactions. Like,
it was weird. It was really weird. I mean, it was really cool. Like, the cast that they got together for it was really, really cool. Because they would occasionally get in some like old Power Rangers actors to come and like play their ranger at the table.
That's cool.
Didn't they base it on Time Force too?
It was like, so Time Force like gave them their powers somehow. It was weird, but they got like a lot of the Time Force Rangers. They got the guy who's playing the Blue Ranger in Ninja Steel to be the Red Ranger. They got the guy who played Bulk from the original Power Rangers to play a ranger in it.
Good for him.
And then they got a couple, like, influencers, quote-unquote, to fill out the cast. But the one that I was most excited for was Andre, the black nerd.
Mm.
I thought that was great, because that's, like, his jam, is just doing that kind of stuff. And he loved doing it, too. You could tell. What his favorite thing is, he gets to go to the Power Ranger conventions now and actually be a ranger. He used to moderate all of them. Now he goes there as a ranger.
That's actually really cool for him.
Yeah, yeah. They have like a Hyper Force panel. It's really cool. It's like, as a Power Rangers fan, that would be the ultimate thing to do, is just be like, I got to be a Power Ranger in a tabletop game that's famous. But I would love an official system for it. I think it'd be really cool.
It's just like a Power Rangers version of like, oh, I was on Critical Role, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's essentially it. And it wasn't bad either. It wasn't bad. I think the problem was it was just Power Rangers D&D. Like, I think that was the problem. And that fact that they never published the system. I think if they would have published the system, it would have been better. That way you could actually play along.
Yeah, you could get some exposure too, and just like... Yeah,
could have made a little extra money there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Could have made a little extra money. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I definitely think that's this is a Pokemon podcast, by the way.
See, like, we should really reveal what Puckle stands for. It was really the Power Rangers Underground.
That's Pruckle. That's Pruckle.
That's
Pruckle.
The R is silent.
The R is silent.
We lied to you for how many years? Like
13. 13 years, I think. We're almost at 13. I think.
13 years. This has been a Power Rangers podcast the whole time.
It has been. It has been.
A very successful front.
The Power Rangers have stayed underground for quite some time.
Yes. Yes. It's a good show. It's a good show. But no, I mean, PTU is good too. PTU, at least, like, it's complicated, but it works.
It's very complicated, but it works so well, and it's just...
It does very good at what it does.
The one thing I love about PTU compared to D&D is that it's so versatile. Like, you can play a different character every time and feel like you're playing a different character. D&D, I've had the issue of, like, I'll build a character, and it's like, oh, it's just that character.
I'm hoping that, I'm hoping that Tasha's Cauldron of Everything, like, those new rules, helps it out.
Help, too. Like, my thing is also, like, the whole character thing, like, you can do different races. Like, if I remember right, I think it was in Tasha's, where you can now do just...
You can move your ability scores around.
And you can choose whatever ability scores you want, which is, like, my big thing.
Yeah.
Because I like playing dex classes, and it's like, well, what's the best dex... Oh, there's Tabaxi.
Yep.
Like...
No, you can change it so it's no longer Tabaxi. Yeah. You can change it so it's not Tabaxi now, which I think helps.
Yeah,
And it widens the breadth of things.
That's the best thing.
But yeah, I think PTU does a very good job. PTU does a very good job of simulating what it's like to be a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah,
I think PTU is very, very good at that. It's complicated, but I think it has to be.
It has to be complicated to do that, yeah. Like,
it's very hard otherwise, because you have to put restrictions on certain things or it doesn't work.
It allows you a lot of creative freedom, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
I can play with the Wooloo successfully. Like, I can make a Mete work. I can make this Mete. This Mete
is
such a cool attacker. I can make it a special attacker if I really wanted.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true.
It's fantastic. Like, the things you can do is that are just fun. You can have a joke team. You can have, like, let me make a speedy shuckle.
I think PTU is, like, a really good example of, like, a great equalizer, because you can make any Pokemon good in PTU.
You can.
And I think that's one of its many strengths. Oh, no, PTU's a cool system in that regard.
Mm.
But let's stop talking about tabletop. And we're going to kick it on over to the news. Let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower, this just in.
And welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things to talk about. Not really, because it's only been 3 days since we last talked, but the new event raids start the day this podcast releases. We'll know what they are in the news segment next week.
I bet ice types will be involved.
Probably.
I bet there's going to be Lapras as a VMAX.
That's a stretch.
I want VMAX Abomasnow. It's not going to happen, but I want it.
Or not even VMAX. I've been playing too much.
VMAX. GMAX. You're right.
It's unfortunate that most GMAXs have kind of been, like, weakened out of the meta because of the legendaries.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a few, but VMAXs are still good, though, in the TCG. So, yeah.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. But, yeah, that's happening, I guess. Shamu, tell us about the more exciting thing that's happening in your life.
Yeah, so excited that we don't know also. Pokemon Masters announced they're going to unveil, essentially, all the other main campaign like events and such in Masters on November 26th, I believe.
So is that good or bad? Like, is that, like...
We'll pretty much know what... I assume we'll know what the events are for the end of until the end of the year.
Earlier in the month, they were like, so I know everyone's complaining about the rewards right now, and we'll announce what we're going to do to change that later in the month. So I think this is going to be part of that announcement.
Mm. Yeah, they've done this multiple times. It's kind of like, I think it's like every quarter, they kind of go like, okay, here's a bunch of stuff we have planned, or like, and it were like a big update with other, like, this is also coming at some point, this will come at some point.
Yeah.
Every 3 months they decide that they're going to do some things differently, and they, like, give up on the old things they were doing, so it's like, eh.
So the game never
like
really
EXs
changes?
They added to the game.
Because it reverses course every day?
I don't know what they were planning with EXs. It was such a weird, such a weird addition at the time it was.
It's such a waste of resources to a degree, too, because it's just like, instead of, like, because how I always viewed it is like, you can just kind of, like, level everyone up and, like, work on, like, getting everyone up to par. With EX, it's like, no, you want to get everyone up? No, we're going to make you forced to get this one up. So, like, instead of, like, spreading your resources to the lower ones, it more incentivizes you to, like, combine, like, because you can, okay, so you have the 3 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars. You could take bronze, I don't know what they're called. The little,
The bronze tickets?
The tickets, yeah. Like, little bronze tickets level up a 3-star to a 4-star. Anyone for a 4-star to a 5-star, there's one that, like, cap out a 5-star.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The 5-star one, once you capped out a 5-star, you can then make it a 6-star, which is an EX, after getting 50 champion spirit things that are a pain in the ass to get, because you have to actually already have, like, a broken-ass account to be able to do those Elite Four things. But so instead of getting everyone up to, like, that 5-star, it's like, you can condense the 3-star tickets to a 4-star ticket, and then you can condense those 4-star tickets to a 5-star ticket.
Oh,
yeah. I found myself, I'm like, I don't even care about the 3-star, 4-stars now. I'm just like, okay, everyone's gonna go, like, just condense them all up, you know? You need to get those units up so you can, like, EX them and then make their ultimate better, or their sync move. It's like,
yeah.
And in a year, the game went from, hey, you should just pull, like, one of the character and you're probably okay, to, hey, you should pull 3 of the character so that you can unlock their full skills.
Yeah.
To what
I hate this.
And to now,
I hate this even, like, more than I thought I did.
you need to get the power-up item that you mostly get from pulling over 5 of a certain character that is 5 stars already, or you have to trade for them with the older tickets.
God.
And it's like, why is this such a resource drain?
Yeah, like, it was already a resource drain initially, and now they're just like, they got rid of the old resource drain for a new one, and they're just adding stuff. Like I feel like the best way to explain it, they're designing their post-game before they're finishing their main game.
Mm-hmm. Like, the game doesn't feel like something that can last another year in its current state.
All I'm saying is that I called it, like, the first week it came out. I'm like, this is cool, but it's not going to be great. And then I got yelled at so
hard. It's okay.
Hard.
We can mock Sublime. We did not get Cynthia in a bathing suit. We got Steven in a bathing suit.
That'll be probably next year. We won't get... It'll be Cynthia next year, I think.
So,
probably.
So what I've noticed about Pokemon is that if they try to apply Pokemon to an already known formula, it just never goes well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with Masters, I think, explicitly. Like, Masters is like, hey, no Fire Emblem Heroes. We kind of just did that, but with Pokemon. And it's just like, it's okay.
Like, I enjoy the game to a degree. It's just that they keep making things harder and harder to get into. Like, at this point, someone new probably couldn't get into it unless they're willing to spend money on, like, energy. And even then, they've limited that, which is kind of bizarre for a game to do. Like, they want you to whale, but not too hard.
They used to do that with, I like what they did with the mystery, or not the mystery, the Pokemon Rumble games. They literally, like, capped out how much you could spend on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, eventually you'll buy the game. And that's how we're gonna get your money. It's like, this is a $30 game, but you can play it for free, and you can put as little or much money as you want until you hit the $30 price that this should cost. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good model, IMO.
Yeah.
I like that model. Or Picross. Picross was the same way.
Picross was the same
way. I put like $10 into it instead of like the $30 that it wanted.
I bought it.
Hey, I gave it money.
I bought it.
I didn't mind waiting for the energy to recharge.
Yeah.
But
it's one of those things where it's just like, they're not settling on something. They're just kind of going all different directions.
Oh yeah, they're like, wishy-washy.
I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy having a game I can kind of passively grind and like deal with the stuff with. It's just that, like, I don't see it lasting, which is unfortunate.
Yep.
Yeah. It hurts that the best thing they've updated in the past year was giving you the ability to not play the game anymore with skip tickets.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to spend my skip tickets, so my energy is gone. It acts like I played those levels like I usually would, and I don't actually have to play those levels anymore. Because before, you just left it on in auto mode for like 5 hours a day. And grinded, and it was awful.
Yeah, honestly, it's what you would have done anyways, so it's like, it's one of those things where it's just, we're saving you the time of doing that.
Yeah.
And destroying your phone.
I think stamina was fine, because it means that you're not wasting your time in that game anymore.
Yeah. Like, I'm okay with stamina was good, it's just that the recharge rate is a bit atrocious.
All right, let's move on to Pokemon Unite, I guess. Sigma wrote the news.
It's a light news week, so update on Pokemon Unite. It probably didn't release when this episode was recorded to when it released. But
no, it's probably not coming out this. It's probably not coming out this
month. No, I expect it to be used for like part of the Pokemon 25 celebration next year, especially with all the cool Pokemon that we've heard are in it from China's beta.
Well, we got the China beta shows like a lot of Pokemon, which is really cool.
Yeah, it's like, it's not just Gen 1.
Yeah,
there's lots of Gen 5, lots of Gen 6. So
I'm very happy with that. I also there was that leak that came out. This isn't in the news here, but there's that leak that came out this past week from the same people that leaked the, what's it called? They leaked the horses and everything like 2 days before they came out from the Pokemon Home data mine. And they said, oh, there's going to one. I take them with a very large grain of salt, because I feel like they're kind of running on that hype that they created by data mining Home first. And so everything after that, I think, is them just trying to, like, feel like they're hot.
A little bit.
So they said one of their sources told them that there's going to be 4 games that come out next year or something like that. I think it's Pokemon Unite, Pokemon Snap, new Pokemon Snap, a new Pokemon remake.
And Detective Pikachu
Pikachu 2, Electric Boogaloo. So I'll take that for what it's worth. I really wish there was an anniversary edition.
I believe three of those will come out next year.
I believe everything but Detective Pikachu will come out next year.
Detective Pikachu is up in the air for me, but they're not very transparent on that game. So I don't know.
No, they're not at all. They're not at all. I think they literally that one press conference 2 years ago that just hasn't had anything that they announced at it ever happen. Just blows my mind. Nothing happened at that press conference. They talked about Pokemon Sleep and Pokemon and Detective Pikachu 2, and neither of those things have happened.
it's really shocking, honestly, that it's just like, yeah, that nothing. No news. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just mm-hmm. Pokemon Sleep's dead.
Mm-hmm. Probably because they realized it was a dumb idea.
Everyone laughed at it. Like, no one took it seriously because there was no concept there for us to take anything off of.
Yes.
True.
Also, the new season of Battlespot is happening this week. It's going to be playing Season 7 rules again for the next couple of months, actually. But yeah, we can move on to Pokemon Go news. Shamu, Pokemon Go news. You're that color. Yeah.
I thought you were going to talk about the season more because I it just went by so fast. I thought there's more news.
No, it's more of the same. We can keep going.
Catch up running last week, you had to catch Pokemon that were under 1500 CP and be caught after November 9th of 2020. So you had to have caught them this month, and not mm-hmm. even the beginning mm-hmm. of this month. Like,
you had to catch them in the last week.
I'm okay with that. I'm into that. I wish there was a way they could. I wish there was a way that they could make that happen in game too. Like it has to be Pokemon.
That's what the battle ready mark is, right?
Yeah, like, I just think it'd be really cool to do that.
That's what the battle ready mark is, and that's
Well, it's like the battle ready mark plus them though. Like, hey, I caught them this week, and now I can use them in this tournament this week. Yeah. And that's it.
I feel so much of that is luck based, and it's such a resource pull to set that up. That yes. It's like I don't see the appeal of it. So
mm-hmm. yes,
because it's like, oh, you have to use all your TMs, and it only lasts for like a week right now. So it's like me.
Yep. Yeah. Tell us more, Sigma, about Pokemon Go.
Hey, if you're listening to this the day it released, the Pokemon Go Lake Spirits are still there for like the rest of the day. But then we get something new, and I'm not sure if we actually know what it is next yet. So
nope.
I'm sure you'll hear about it tomorrow. There's like a 2 day gap between when Kalos shows up. So yes. I don't know what that raid in between is going to be.
I have no idea. Also, well, I guess that's everything for Pokemon that we have. But we have some Puckle news.
Oh, wasn't it speculation of being Vivillon raids?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's a speculation, unlike what Linnean was saying, that it was Honedge.
Yes.
I think most people are like, it's probably Spupas or whatever.
Yeah,
Spupas,
I can see that. I remember talking about it a little
Scatterbug. I guess technically it's Scatterbug.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Fall League is almost over, guys, by the way. If you want to go get your Fall League badges, you got to go do so by December 5th?
Yes.
And go do that, and then you can join the tournament. We got a lot of people almost qualified.
Yep, you just need 4 badges to mm-hmm. qualify. You can push ahead if you think there might be buys to win.
So I think all of the buys to win have already been taken, to be fair. But
they probably have been.
Yeah.
There might be another one or two, honestly, at this point. Because
definitely do it. Claude and P. McGee also show you how to beat everybody on the YouTube, so definitely check that out.
our match did not go well. That was not a fun time.
There are two other pieces of Puckle news. One, the advent calendar starts this week. It starts actually tomorrow, the day after this comes out. So you guys can go check it out.
Spoiler alert. First day, 6IV ditto.
6IV ditto. First day, yeah. For those of you who aren't aware, Puckle advent calendar is a giveaway a day for 24 days on the Discord server. So Discord's the place to be. We'll announce it everywhere else on all the rest of our social media as well. But if you want to get the code to actually do the trade, you have to come to the Discord server. And the final piece of news is that we're going to be doing another Puckle showdown if you missed the first one, or you watched the one on YouTube and you really liked it, or you went to the first one and you wanted another one. We're doing another Puckle showdown on December 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a really, really good time. I'm very excited for it. The last one was a lot of fun. This one's going to be also a lot of fun. In addition to that, we're essentially running two of them on the same day. It's going to end up being something like a 6 or 7 hour stream, I think.
With a break, I think. Couple breaks.
Yeah, because there's going to be a break where I don't know. I'm going to put a break in quotes. I really would like to like stream something in between, have somebody stream something in between, like just some like TCG or like just random stuff, you know, in between. But we're doing a second showdown that has patrons involved. So if you're a patron, you can go ahead and sign up, and we're going to randomly go through that and pick 4 people to pair up with 4 different co-hosts to also participate in the Puckle showdown. So that's going to be fun. I'm very excited for that.
I'm excited to participate this time.
Yeah, I'm excited. They're just fun. It's so cool. It's such a fun thing to do.
And it seemed like a really fun time last time.
Yeah.
I was just stuck doing Player's Cup.
Yeah, you're doing Player's Cup. You're doing real Pokemon things.
I lasted like an extra 45 minutes past when you guys ended, so. And I started roughly the same time, so.
All right, so that is a good place to stop. We're going to kick it on over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. And welcome to Puckle's Poke Quiz. Puckle's Poke Quiz is the part of the show where we quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge. Sigma and Shamu are going to be operating together as a team today to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions from our Discord server. There is a possible total of 8 points for them to grab today. They do have one lifeline in the form of a hint. However, if they don't use it and get all the questions correct, they can cash in for an extra point. That being the 8th point that they can collect today. These questions, like I said, all come from our Discord server. You can drop them and you can try to stump the co-host yourself. Liger puts them all together for us. And this segment is also brought to you by our friends over at AnimeGravy.com, your one-stop shop for all your nerdy needs. They also have a coupon code for you guys for 20% off if you use PokeQuiz at checkout. Shamu and Sigma are in a race with their fellow co-host at 30 points. Whoever gets there first gets a $20 credit to PokemonCenter.com. Shamu's actually within shooting distance of first place right now. So I'm excited to see if he can do it. If you get a perfect score today, I think you take first place.
I'll try to help.
Think perfect is needed.
All right. I think if you don't get perfect, you tie.
Something like that.
That's probably fine.
That's not bad either. If you guys are ready, I will get you your first question. Your first question this week is from Shark Finnegan, and he wants to know, as of Generation 8, which region's specialty food does not heal your Pokemon? So each region has a specialty food?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Only one of them doesn't heal your Pokemon. Only one. I just need the generation or the region. Your choice.
Okay, because I know...
So, I don't know...
I know...
Rage Candy Bar? Or Castalia Cone, maybe?
I don't know
what Galar's is. I'm gonna be straight there.
I don't. Galar might have one. I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do.
I know Lumiose Galette is one. I think there's the Castalia Cone Lava Cookie.
Pewter Crunchies. I don't actually know what those do because Let's Go was easy enough to where I never had to look at the menu for them.
Yeah.
So
I don't. Oh God.
The question is, maybe is Galar's thing like the sweets for alchemy? I don't think that's the case, but.
But it said, it was as of Gen 8 though, one of the old regions doesn't do it anymore.
Okay.
No, it's which region in general doesn't do it. Does not heal your Pokemon.
I don't actually know what Rage Candy Bar does outside of.
That's what it is. It's as of Gen 8, which region's specialty food does not heal your Pokemon?
Oh.
Rage Candy Bar, I could see not doing
so it. So it can include Gen 8.
Okay.
But if the sweets are the Galar item, that doesn't heal anything. So.
Yeah, I'm actually leaning towards Galar, if anything, because Rage Candy Bar still, if it's in there, I'm pretty sure it still heals 20.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of anything else.
I can't think of what Galar's is unless it's the Alchemy sweets, which definitely don't heal your Pokemon. So.
Yeah. Is that your answer?
I think so.
Yeah, I'm going to go with
Galar
that.
Is correct. Because it is the sweets that evolve Milsuri into Alcremie. The other specialty foods
I didn't know if those counted.
Are the Pewter Crunchies, introduced in Let's Grow, the Rage Candy Bar, the Lava Cookie, the Old Cateau, the Castalia Cone, the Lumiose Galette, they also have the Chaleur Sable, and the Big Malasada.
Yes,
wonderful.
Good old Malasada.
So they all heal something to some extent. Yeah, but yeah, that is your first point. Your next question is going to come from Coil Builder, and he wants to know, the mechanic of gaining experience from catching a Pokemon was introduced in what generation?
Was it 5?
I want to say it was 5. It was 5 or 6. It wasn't.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on it too. It's 5 or 6.
It wasn't,
I think
4
it's 5.
For sure. I want. Yeah, I feel like it was. I feel like.
But
it
might be 6.
5.
It's one of the two. It's a coin flip.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? It might. Maybe it is 6 because I remember the XP share being annoying with it too. That's why everyone complained.
Oh.
You want to know why everyone's things got overleveled? Because everyone caught all the Pokemon and gave XP? Maybe?
I want to lean towards 6.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think back, and I'm like, I don't remember everything gaining
I still think it's a coin flip between the two, but I think I'm leaning towards 6.
Yeah. I remember it more profoundly in 6 than 5.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm going to lock in 6. Gen 6.
Generation 6 is correct. That is your second point today. It was Generation 6. I don't have anything else to add on, but...
You tried. Pat on the back.
It didn't help the Ruby and Sapphire level curve in ORS, so...
Yeah. So this next question is your Pokedex entry question. I'm going to read you a Pokedex entry. You have to tell me what Pokemon that belongs to. If you ride the Struggle Bus, I will give you a second entry. If you get it on the first entry, you get 2 points. If you get it on after the second entry, you get 1 point. And if you don't get it at all, it's 0. So your question this week is from Sleeve. And he says, its Pokedex entry reads, this Pokemon is selfish and likes to be pampered. It can also inflict grievous wounds on its trainer just by playing around. Who's that Pokemon?
So my first thought is like Snubbull or Granbull, but what game was this from?
Pokemon Shield.
Not Snubbull or Granbull. Cool.
No. Grievous, it likes to be pampered. It leaves grievous wounds.
Pamper? Hmm.
I don't think it's
another dog-like Pokemon.
What was it? It sounds familiar.
Like, I don't think it's Slurpuff, because usually that talks about its nose.
Could it be Galarian Meowth?
Ooh, okay, I like that.
Like, it bugs me because I feel like I know it, but I don't.
I feel like it's going to be a cat or dog.
Yeah.
Okay, we are going to go ahead and give you a second Pokedex entry. Its Pokemon Sword entry reads, this is an ancient Pokemon, revived in modern times. It has a violent disposition and it will tear apart anything that gets between its hefty jaws.
Huh. That's so I've suddenly gone to Tyrantrum or Tyrant?
I think it's Tyrant.
I think it's Tyrant too, because I don't see Tyrantrum as playable.
No, yeah, and you can't pamper a Tyrantrum.
You
can't pamper a Tyrantrum. Like, it still feels slightly off, but I think Tyrant's where I'm going to go.
Tyrant is correct. It is Tyrant. I don't know what else to tell you. It's Tyrant. The Shield and Sword entries are so completely different. Wow.
that was a very, very different Pokemon in both of those.
Yeah.
All right. So your next question is your multiple choice answer question. Because you missed the 1 point on the Pokedex entry, this question is worth 3 points for you, as you are 3 for 3 right now. And this is from Krabby Snail. Like I said, there are 7 answers. If you give me 3, that's 1 point. If you give me 6, that's 2 points. And if you give me all 7, that's 3 points. And the question is, which types do not have any sound-based moves? And there are 7 of them.
Okay.
Can you think of a dragon?
Clanging Scales.
Okay. Yep.
Or Clangorous, whatever.
Yeah, Clanging Scales. Yep, yep.
It's got 2.
Fairy has
Disarming Voice.
Fairy has Disarming Voice, I believe.
Dark has Snarl. So Bug has Bug Buzz. Normal has everything. yeah. has Grass Whistle.
Sparkling Aria, I believe, is sound-based. So
yes, it is. It's water. Electric has Overdrive.
Mm-hmm.
Got another one, too, I think, actually. Does Fire have one? I don't think Fire has one.
Okay.
That's one.
Ground probably doesn't
have one. Fire is one. Ground is another.
Does Flying have one? I don't think... Wait, how many have we counted up so far? So we have
2. You got 2.
I'm trying to think of the one that we said we know for sure do.
Yeah.
You should write this down.
1, 2.
We should be, but, Ice might not have one probably.
That's 3.
Okay. Rock?
Steel, I think, counts metal sound, so that's out.
Metal sound's 1. Does Rock have something? Like, it's got Rock.
Rock does not. That is 4.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we've got, Fire.
Poison?
Poison doesn't, I don't think.
Okay, I don't think poison.
Poison is 5.
Poison doesn't have moves.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. You got status, not moves. So we've said ice, poison, fire.
Fighting? Would fighting have a sound move? Is coaching sound move? I don't think it matters.
It is not sound based. That is another type that. So you're at 6. There's one more.
Okay.
What type of psychic?
Did we think of anything ghost?
Ghosts are.
I'm kind of amazed that there's no, like, scream or something for ghost, but I.
What does psychic have?
Meloetta's voice song?
That's normal.
Oh, Synchronoise.
Synchronoise. Doi. Yep, that's probably Ghost.
I think that move was finally killed. Maybe,
yeah,
hopefully,
God, that move
because
was terrible.
It was awful.
It was a cool idea, but it was terrible. I think,
Ghost, I guess, we'll try.
Ghost is Ghost. Correct. That is all seven. It is fire, ice, fighting, poison, ground, rock, and ghost. For normal, you have all the things. Bug Buzz for bug, Clangorous Soul for dragon, Chatter for flying, Disarming Voice for fairy, Eerie Spell, Galarian Slow King signature move is a psychic type.
Oh.
Then you've got Grass Whistle, which is for grass, Metal Sound for steel, Overdrive for electric, Snarl for dark, and Sparkling Aria for water.
Eerie Spell is sound-based?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
You have, you are 6-4, 6-4. You haven't used the hint. You don't need to use the hint if you get this next question correct. This next question is from Upside Down Malamar. What is the fastest not fully evolved electric type?
Fastest NFE electric.
Oh, God, I think I know this one. No. I know this because I think I was on an episode with Scrawn.
I think we talked about this.
Was a thing. I think I was on an episode with Scrawn, and this was like the last question he needed to win because I think it's partner Pikachu.
Is that a valid answer?
I think it's
partner Pikachu. It can't evolve,
but it's a Pikachu.
It's not fully evolved, though.
It's a weird.
I'm gonna say it's fully evolved.
So we're counting that as fully evolved. We're counting it as fully evolved.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that thing's got 110 speed. That.
I agree with you. Otherwise.
Okay. So other than partner Pikachu,
it's actually got a base speed of 120. It like crushes everything.
Oh.
Okay.
Sure. Why not?
What has 120 speed and is an electric type?
That's nutsos.
That's unevolved.
No, it's not 120. It's under 120.
Oh.
Okay.
It's the Pikachu's got a 120 base speed.
That's what I thought you said.
I'll tell you, this Pokemon's got a base 105 to clear up the confusion.
105?
Okay. It's probably Voltorb then.
I'm just trying to think.
To think of fast electric types and...
Yeah, the one thing
Electrode
that comes to mind
is right
that
there.
Thing. But I'm trying to think, Electabuzz isn't that fast.
Electabuzz is that. Electabuzz is 105. You're right. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. He loses 10 speed when he evolves.
Oh. I guess Electabuzz then, because I can't think of anything else. I'm thinking Magneton and thinking other things, but they're all middle.
No, Magneton's 70.
Other types I can
Voltorb
think of
might
stuff
be
more, but Electric, it's everything fast as a legend or fully evolved or something
Mm-hmm.
Raichu. But it's not Raichu.
Raichu is 110, yeah.
I think. Yeah, Electabuzz sounds...
Yeah, it's Electabuzz. Yeah. It's 105.
Electabuzz is correct. Next is Voltorb with 100, Elekid with 95, and then Pikachu at 90.
Nice.
So that gives you 8 points today.
That was a perfect round.
That was a perfect run to give Shamu first place today.
He's got to get to the Cramorant.
He's got to get
to the Cramorant.
Actually, Shamu, you're up by 2 points. You didn't even need all 8.
No, we need all 8. We need the lead. We need the Cramorant's blessing, you know?
The Cramorant's blessing.
Yeah, that episode went up just recently.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah,
changes up the standings pretty significantly. Shamu is in first place with 15 points. In second place, you have Whimsicott with 13. In third place, you have Sigma with 8. In fourth, you have P. McGee with 7. And then in a 5-way tie for fifth, you've got Sublime, Cloud9, Jushiro, Linian, and Seth Vilo with 6. Basket has yet to get on the board. With that, we are going to we're going to call it, and we're going to move it on over to the topic. And thank you to Supercat GX for leaving us a review on iTunes. 5 stars, best Pokemon podcast ever. Well, thank you for that. And if you want your review right on the show, be sure to go review us wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. But until then, we're going to kick it on over to the topic. And welcome to the topic. Our topic today is how competitive has changed since Generation 8. I think this is a fun one. I think this is just a fun topic, and I think I brought the right people on for it. My competitive experience in Pokemon has changed with Generation 8 compared to Generation 7, Generation 6. And that's mostly due to, one, timer. Bring back timers a real big thing. Well, I'm not going to say real big thing. It's a thing that is on Twitter.
It's a thing people tried. It probably wasn't the best time to start such a movement, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're not really starting a movement because it's something they've been consistently complaining about since last December.
I mean, same as us, but yeah.
I think a lot of people are very, they hold on to that. A lot of people are, what I found with the timer, are the people who weren't upset with Dexit most of them got hurt by the timer. Mm-hmm. Pokemon came in with a second punch and wiped out more of its fan base. I think that's horrible, one, because Pokemon, I still obviously like Pokemon, or I wouldn't keep doing this show. The DLCs really helped the games a lot. I think the DLC has been some of the best stuff. But competitive-wise, I think without the timer, they really restricted things. I was always the kind of player who dabbled in VGC as like an aside. Just like, hey, let's play this because it's something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always want vanilla Pokemon. Sometimes I want chocolate Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
I'd go play VGC as a change of pace. And so as somebody who did that, I have been more thrust into the VGC scene because of it. Honestly, that's the only format that's like super balanced and fun that you can play on cart.
It's kind of amazingly balanced, this game.
Yes.
Which is weird.
I think they put a lot of thought into it. I will say it until the day I die. Urshifu is a perfectly crafted Pokemon.
It is. The only series I really didn't like was like the end of Series 4, beginning of Series 5, when you had Cinderace and Rillaboom just being the best things you could do. And there was just no countermeasures to it. It's just like, this is awful. In doubles. Like, I can understand Cinderace, like, destroying singles, but then it's over in doubles being like the number 4 Pokemon. It's like, this is disgusting.
I think they've been doing a really good job with their own meta. Battle Spot singles isn't, or Battle Stadium, I should say, singles isn't much worse. Like, it's an okay meta.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, as a fan of Splatoon games, I'm very happy it's a very quick match all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
I miss like the 40-minute stall matches that I used to have in singles.
You can find those occasionally, but they're like 1 in 20 games, so it's like, mm-hmm. Hey, maybe you run into one, but...
I don't know. What about you, Shamu? Your experience has definitely changed.
Yeah, because I primarily did Smogon. I did OU. But that was like the format I preferred. And like right now, it's just been like, I just don't care as much.
Well, you can't play like, it's dumb.
Yeah. The timer's dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, we're digging our own grave because you've got a format we can't play. Like, it's not like...
Yeah, and then
like
Pokemon, Dynamax...
We're playing a format Pokemon made. We're playing a Pokemon... Well, if you want, you can argue it did. But, like, it's that was made a format by us, the players, and it's just kind of like, well, we can't play this. It just kind
of
hurts.
I think it's stupid on Pokemon's part outside of that, though, because throughout the game, you're just like, hey, I have a 6-mon team, and everybody wants to be like, hey, I want to play with a 6-mon team, because that's Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They technically made that format, and then they kind of got rid of it.
They did. I don't disagree with you whatsoever. I think you are 100% spot on with that. I think Pokemon made that format, and they made it impossible. I think even, this is even worse, like outside of being like a Smogonite or something like that, you can't do that if you have a friend. Let's say you and I, Shamu, we hang out all the time, and we just want to battle in-game teams every 2 badges or something.
Yeah.
If we had a proper 6v6 match, there's a chance even with the 20-minute timer with in-game teams, we wouldn't be able to finish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's nonsense. I think that's absolute nonsense. I think I've said it on the show before, but I'm pretty sure it's more Nintendo's fault than Pokemon's fault.
That's what I was gonna bring up. It's like, I feel like it might be the Switch's netcode or something.
Yes.
More so than Pokemon's game itself.
I could definitely see them remedying it in another game. I don't see it coming as a DLC update or anything, but I could definitely see, like, where they said the rumor is we're getting a Pokemon remake next year.
What was Let's Go's timer?
Let's Go, I think, had a 60-minute timer, actually. So, let me double-check.
I think it did, yeah.
Because if so...
We don't have an argument. We don't have an argument. They're just telling us how to play Pokemon.
It's
cool.
A Sword and Shield, essentially, that was made to not have it.
I think it had less data to convey over itself.
It probably
like
did,
no
though. It had
data.
Much less.
Okay, but how much information is there to transfer with items? There can't be that much.
It's not really
no
items.
No abilities.
More, like, I was thinking all the other...
No ability interaction.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't buy that.
I mean, all they really need to do is have like a weekend tournament that's like 6v6 with like a 30-minute timer, and it's like, okay.
30 minutes is okay. I think the problem is, I don't know. So one of the things I've noticed in like Smogon's version of OU, because I think one of the better things that Sword and Shield has done competitively has been, one, the move culling, and two, just the culling of movesets in general that a Pokemon have available in Gen 8. The amount of Pokemon that no longer get toxic is fantastic.
Yeah, they fixed a lot of things with like the move culling. Like,
yeah,
it
I
sucks
think...
in a way, but it's also very nice because it kind of feels like a balance fit. Like, it feels like a patch. Like, we're gonna patch the game.
It was definitely very balanced, because having like hidden power, which made special attackers stupid, to and giving Lando a counter to itself. You also like fixed a lot of problems with toxic stall being super prevalent and stuff like that. I think that it has just been very healthy. I wish that Smogon, because they already have a bajillion tiers now because they can't decide how to play Pokemon anymore. Really feel like Smogon should have a tier where it's like, I think Sword and Shield OU should only use moves that you can learn, like if you're battle ready Gen 8. I think it would be a lot more balanced than whatever they have now.
It's like you can only get Gen 8 moves on your Pokemon. That is what it is.
Yeah, it would get rid of like nonsense like Clefable. Well, no, Clefable would still be there, but yeah.
It would be there, but it wouldn't be as prevalent. You get rid of Teleport, you get rid of Soft Boiled.
Teleport is such dumb move. It's super good, but that's why it's just like,
yeah, like they did Teleport real good from Let's Go.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. I think that would be a fun meta. It'd be very balanced in that respect, and I think they'd have an easier time adding Pokemon in because they're not really handling tiering well with the DLC updates.
It's kind of amazing to watch things just drop.
Yeah.
I think Gengar was RU for a little bit. It's probably been banned now.
Some things went like crazy low, and then like it doesn't balance for a while.
Like Terrakion and Gengar in RU, it's like, what?
Oh, yeah, that whole RU shift. Oh my god, that RU shift was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
RU. Cramorant moves up. Everything else moves down and pushes it away.
It's just nuts. I mean, I think Sword and Shield has... I really do like in VGC. I have liked the addition of Pokemon over time. I think that has been super healthy just for the Sword and Shield VGC meta.
I think it was very nice to just have like Silph Ally as your legendary for almost a year. All you had legendary wise was like Silph Ally. And then eventually the Swords of Justice somehow got in.
My only theory for that is because I feel like Sword and Shield overall has just been this mentality. It's been the reaction to Pokemon Go.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like Generation 8 is the first post-Pokemon Go generation.
Yeah, definitely.
In that regards, I think they're really trying to embrace like the Pokemon Go lifestyle across Pokemon. I think they saw that Pokemon Go breathed new life into the franchise, and I use that very lightly because I don't believe it was like a good longevity kind of breath, if that makes any sense.
It brought a spotlight to Sun and Moon that it probably wouldn't have gotten. I think Sword and Shield would have been big regardless, just because it's the Pokemon game on the Switch, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know how much Pokemon Go influenced Pokemon Sword and Shield success.
I think Pokemon Go influenced a lot of Sword and Shield. That's kind of where I'm going with it.
I think it influenced some of the gameplay patterns.
I think that's why they've been doing this like slow rollout with Pokemon. It's really cool that you can catch a lot of the Pokemon in the wild. I find it really cool and really interesting, and I find some of the gaps they've left in it kind of annoying. Looking at you, Kranidos and Bastiodon, why are you the only fossils missing?
They're garbage. They're garbage and they don't need to
I mean, I agree with you. I don't know. I would like to see them fill out like and put the rest of them in Sword and Shield without any problem, because I really hate the idea of how it's getting a remake next year. That becoming the game that like they base VGC on.
I don't expect that. I think they're going to stay on Sword and Shield. I think they're going to make the game like isolated, so it's whatever the national deck is, or whatever the regional decks is in that game is the only Pokemon in that game, right?
I feel like that doesn't mesh too well with like modern Pokemon, to be fair, though.
I think it's going to be like a crossbreed of a remake and a Let's Go game where it's just like, this is an isolated game.
That sounds awful.
That you don't need to buy in order to play competitive Pokemon, right?
I would like to see them finish the decks in Sword and Shield, though, if they're going to do that. So that, honestly, not because of like any Dexit reasons at this point, but just for competitive healthiness. Like competitive health.
Maybe.
I like these TCG rotations that we're getting, essentially. In competitive. I think it's really cool. I think it's really fun because the meta changes all of the time and nothing gets stale and stagnant. You don't get like these year-long metas that become stale after 6 months.
Yeah, I think the awkwardness is that they added all the legends now, so everything they add afterwards is just kind of disappointing, right?
I mean, you can make that same argument though about Isle of Armor to an extent, right? We didn't add any legends, but they just added Pokemon.
Yeah, like that, like if instead of legends for Crown Tundra, we got actual Pokemon that weren't legends. Mm-hmm. Like, I could see a better chance of that.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Once you get the legends, it's like, I guess Breloom and I guess Gliscor would make a difference, but that's like where it stands. It's like, what's Delcatty gonna do in this? What's Delcatty ever gonna do?
What's Delcatty gonna do? Period. Full stop.
Normalize.
But I don't know. They've been changing up move pools like pretty crazy. I could see move pools like making some more Pokemon useful.
Like, it's sad that we don't have Alolan Muk.
That actually hurts.
Like, that's probably the Kanto Pokemon that's missing that hurts the most.
Dewgong. I guess Pidgeot. Dewgong hurts, okay?
Dewgong does not hurt. Nobody cares about Dewgong except the people who complained about
that. I kind of do, because I had to get one of the baseball.
The only people who care are the ones that complained about Twilight Wings.
Well, so you bring up a good point about like how they put the legendaries in, and so like what could they do after that? And personally, my opinion stands that they could bring back Megas, and I think that's the way you one up legendaries coming back.
Mm-hmm. Even then, they kind of just match the power of legends as opposed to like.
I think you bring back way more hype though, bringing back Megas than you would bringing back legendaries.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the big thing missing in the room is the Greninja hole that's sitting in singles.
I think the other thing, the big thing in the room, personally, just like for saying, hey, they need to do something to fill out the decks, is that half the starters in general are missing.
Yeah, but Greninja's the big one. Greninja's the one that takes number one or number two in singles if it shows up, right?
Yes, absolutely. Like,
it is the broken Pokemon that is missing.
I don't disagree that, I mean, I think Ash Greninja should be kind of like wiped from existence.
I mean, it was never legal in Battle Spot singles.
No, anyway. And it should never have existed. I'm going to be completely honest. I thought it was like a really dumb gimmick that they brought in to just match the anime.
It's a cool media Pokemon. It should not be allowed in competitive battles.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't disagree.
It's a cool tie-in. I like it a lot more than Hash Hat Pikachu's, right?
Yes.
But it's kind of broken.
Yes, it's too good. I definitely agree with that. I enjoy a lot of these Pokemon that are still missing, just like from a collection standpoint, and I would love to just go into another DLC and go catch like another 100 Pokemon.
Like Mareep.
Yeah, Mareep is a cool one. I mean, they left out a lot of fan favorites. Yeah.
You know, I would just like Ash Greninja as a form. No actual status effects or anything, just mm-hmm. a form. It just looks like Ash Greninja. Yeah. It's got protein.
Just literally Greninja,
yeah.
But looks different.
Yeah, you have four more starters to go. I think they're leaving them out on purpose so that they can throw them in whatever comes next.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, here's the new hotness. Like, it's probably, it's something that I imagine, like, we get Gen 4 remakes in November of 2021, and it's just like, hey, here's the rest of the starters, and then they merge the dexes and they make them kiss.
Yeah, I don't expect interactivity between Sword and Shield and whatever the remake is.
I expect interactivity.
I just don't.
I expect it.
I expect them to be separate things.
I expect them to interact because I expect it to still be Gen 9. I think what you do is you make it the quote-unquote Great Equalizer, and you just update Sword and Shield to have all of the Pokemon that are in the remakes, and the remakes have all of the Pokemon that are in Sword and Shield in the code, mm-hmm. and then you can literally just use whichever game you want at whatever event.
That would be nice. I don't see them doing it
because they're going to want you to buy the new game, and I think that's still their bread and mm-hmm. butter, because I think the part that you forget if you're talking about using Sword and Shield for competitive forever is that they kind of use that as a vehicle to get people to buy the new games.
I mean, you still sold 10 million copies or 12 million copies now of Let's Go.
Yeah, right? Okay, but Let's Go is a one-hit wonder. Okay?
Probably.
Let's go made
it's the first
Let's Go is the Trogs
the
of Pokemon video games, okay? Do you know who the Trogs are? No, you don't, because they only sang Wild Thing and nothing else. And that's Let's Go. That's Let's Go. Let's Go is the Trogs of the Pokemon franchise, because the problem with Let's Go, and I think Game Freak knows it, because I believe that they see Let's Go as a failure.
I think there are aspects of Let's Go that are worth bringing back, like lack of interconnectivity, so you don't have to worry about a meta.
I like it as a game that you play. I would love it as like a third game in the cycle, if that makes sense.
See, I think it's an okay, like, first you kill the motion controls.
You're gonna get rid of that then, because like that was the whole gimmick.
Yeah, but it was a dumb gimmick.
It is a dumb gimmick, but they're not gonna, like, if you're gonna make a Let's Go game, you're just like, hey, let's rip out one of the core components.
I mean, I think there are other ideas from Let's Go that work well.
I think there,
like,
are
riding Pokemon instead of HMs.
Right? I think like, a lot of the things that they did in Pokemon Let's Go, or some of the things, I shouldn't say a lot. I think some of the things they did were done really well, and they did bring some of them over, like Pokemon in the overworld. There weren't going to be Pokemon in the Sword and Shield overworld outside of the wild area until Let's Go's reception.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was done very well. Falling Pokemon came back, just like in Let's Go. That's for somebody else who isn't Thatch. I've just never cared.
I mean, I'm sad that riding Pokemon didn't come back. Like, I feel like there are some Pokemon that would be really fun as mounts. Like,
I think they should bring back the mounts, like the Arcanine. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, like, that was really cool. Like, who needs a bike? You can ride around on, like, your Suicune.
Yeah, that, right? I don't disagree. I think that is cool. But those are, like, the only ideas I want from Let's Go.
Like, I think the idea of an isolated game is fine, right? Like, a game where they don't have to care. They're just faithfully remaking something. Well, not even faithfully, but faithfully enough remaking something.
I just don't think you could do it again. Because at some point, you just get become Pokemon again. Because if you try to go to something like Johto, if you try to take, like, Let's Go Johto, like, one of the big things in Johto, and it's throughout the game, it's, like, baked into Johto, is held items. And so one of the big things was, oh, we got rid of held items, and it's really baked into it. Then you have to bring back held items into Let's Go. Then you do Gen 3, and abilities are, like, really baked into Gen 3. Yeah. And so then now you're back to Pokemon. You're just back to regular Pokemon. You're not the simplified version anymore.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you still have the restricted decks. Like, I think that's one of the big components that they probably should keep for whatever the next remake is.
I still think the way they did it in Sword and Shield was a healthier way to do it. You can still have your restricted decks in your original regional decks, and then you can scatter in DLC.
Yeah, no, I like that. I think everything should be in a Pokedex, though, Incineroar.
There are a lot of things that... it got messier with Crown Tundra, because none of those legends are in the decks. And that confuses
everything
me.
Everything should be in a Dex. That is my opinion on that. Like, don't have these extra things sitting around that you have to name individual national Dex numbers for. No, put them in the Dex.
I'm still kind of salty about the 35 that were just in the code.
Right? Just put them in the Dex.
Yeah.
Like, we even have Dex entries for them. Put them in.
I know. It's terrible.
Or at the very least, they just give it the raid event so we can catch them in different balls.
Or catch this. You just make a national Dex where you put them in.
Shh, no. This will be the way. I need my beast balls. Okay.
I know you do. You have a problem.
It's getting there. It's getting there.
You have a problem.
Like 800 plus in. We're getting there.
I mean, I would love to see the Dex finished, just like I said, for more rotations. Because I can see VGC getting very stale by, like, June.
You know, the other option is we just enter GS Cup early, and whatever we get in the fall as a remake just resets the clock on what the format is, right? That's the other option.
I would be okay with interactivity still, with whatever we get in the fall. We still have interactivity with it. It's still Gen 8, but mm-hmm. the VGC meta becomes that regional Dex. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I think that's the way they should have been doing it from generations ago. Like, I think that's the way they should have been doing it.
Oh, yeah. Like, what I see happening is we get a ban list at the end of January mm-hmm. for whatever the February through April meta is. And then February through May? No, it's April.
Yeah.
And then for May, you start GS Cup.
Yeah.
And I think that would be interesting.
They probably will. You're not wrong.
Yeah. And then you do a ban list GS Cup afterwards, and that'll get you to the new game.
Yep.
Like, that's an option that we could see.
Yeah. I mean, they've already started extending the VGC seasons. As is, like, the VGC seasons are already going to, are already going 3 months instead of two. I mean, does that take us to
three
November,
months is good.
Does it? No, it's like close to November, but not quite.
It would go May, June, July, and then August, September, October. So it would end for November.
It would end for November, but then you don't have a November meta until this game comes out, right?
Well, then what they probably would do, they would just probably, like, make a meta.
They would probably do some other kind of meta.
They would probably just, yeah. Like, because, again, I don't think they're going to make a meta for the new game right at the drop of the hat.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
no, yeah. Usually they wait for January.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. Like, the other thing I think they should do with remakes is just do them in 2D so you can get them out quicker, but
I don't know. I think there's a charm to... I would love to see a hybrid between Sword and Shield and Let's Go for a Diamond and Pearl remake.
That's the thing. Like, once we have Wild Area, I think it's hard to go back to those isometric cameras.
Yeah.
Use the isometric camera, but do it in such a way, like, do it with the camera angle of Let's Go, and then you still put Pokemon, you make the overworld kind of like Let's Go, but gameplay like Sword and Shield, if that makes sense. You do that, and then you throw a Wild Area up in the battle area instead of putting Grouch there, because nobody cared.
Oh yeah, but yeah, you make that island at the top right.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's what you do.
And then personally, I think you stretch it for another year by making more DLC for that.
I don't even know if you need DLC for it.
No. Okay, hear me out. If I'm Game Freak and I want to make a bajillion dollars,
I'd be real disappointed if the Battle Frontier was DLC. I'm just gonna say that
probably will be. Even then, it wasn't in Diamond and Pearl. It was in Platinum.
I know.
You want what they could do? Give us a treasure hunt for the Azure Flute, whatever.
What they do is they make a DLC because they left out all Gen 4 mythicals. They left out every single one in Sword and Shield.
Yeah. If we get a remake, I assume we're just getting all four of them?
You do them as DLC. You do them as DLC, though.
That would be such a money grab after charging $60 instead of $40.
I don't think they do all of them. They do it all as one, maybe.
Yeah, it might be like two put together or something, but yeah, I agree with that.
I think you add one automatically, right? There's got to be one just there.
Oh, yeah. Maybe like throw Manaphy in the game or something.
People would complain because you got Deoxys last time. You got Keldeo in Sword and Shield now.
I think it should be Darkrai.
Okay, Darkrai's fine as a mythical because I never want to see an in competitive with its stat line and Dark Void how it used to be. But honestly, Cresselia is not a mythical. It shouldn't be a mythical either.
I think you just need it so that you can be like, Darkrai and Cresselia are two Pokemon.
Yeah, you can have them as rivals. I'm okay with that. I think Darkrai gets to be base game.
I think that's what you do.
Yeah, make those base game. And I really think they should, like, if they do a DLC for that, they would just make it, you go on a treasure hunt underground or something. Like, you actually, like, go into the mining area and you go for the Azure Flute or something.
That'd be
because
cool.
Because they
too.
Had that in the code in the original games. Like, I think JP.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I don't know.
I think you could still put that in just base game, right?
They could do base game, or they could make it a thing for a DLC, and that I think that would be a much grander experience.
It's still a 10-year-old game. You should add something to it.
Yeah.
But on that note, I think this is a good place to stop because that was a really good competitive note. This has turned into a Flash Sigma and Shamu Tuesday night conversation, and
we knew it was happening.
It was going to happen.
Yeah,
I think this is a good place to stop. We're going to take a short break, guys, and we're going to come right back at you with the Pokemon of the episode.
Pokemon of the episode.
And welcome to the Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 881, Arctozolt, the fossil Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Shield Pokedex entry reads, "This Pokemon lived on prehistoric seashores and was able to preserve food with the ice on its body. It went extinct because it moved so slow."
So they're just making up science, is what I'm hearing.
Pretty much.
Arctozolt's actually better now because he got Slushrush. I think that's the only reason he's better now, because Voltorb and Static were garbage abilities, and his typing is absolutely awful. Ice Electric is an awful, awful typing that we never got before.
It is amazing offensively.
It is. Amazing offensively is like that. That's an understatement.
It's Bolt Beam coverage.
Yeah, you get that Bolt Beam.
That was like the staple of Gen 4.
Oh, the typing, yeah. You meant typing. Yeah. I was thinking Arctozolt as a Pokemon.
Oh, no.
With its base 100 attack and base 90 defense, base 80 special defense, base 90 special attack, base 90 HP, and then 55
speed.
Yeah,
the type Arctozolt is a very offensive, very good offensive type. No.
Yeah, no, Bolt Beam is fun. We also had Rotom Frost, for those who forgot him.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about Rotom Frost. My favorite Rotom. Who should be good because of the Chicago Bears.
The classic.
So the team that we have this week is a VGC team. It actually works surprisingly okay. I wouldn't call it like a meta defining team. I would call it a fun team.
It's the kind of team that your opponent looks at it and it's like, I have no clue what they're going to do turn one. I have zero idea how they're going to open this up.
The team has so many plays that can happen turn one. I think you get a paralysis of choice when you play it. So the star of the team is absolutely Arctozolt. In our case, we're running Life Orb with Slush Rush, 252 special attack, 252 speed, special attack when it's got, I guess Bolt Beak's going to hit hard anyway. It's running Blizzard, Bulldoze, Bolt Beak, and Protect.
Mild nature. I don't even know what that does. I'm going to be honest.
Mild nature. I don't even know what
I know it's special attack. I don't know what it's
minus defense. Minus defense because who cares? You're an ice type.
Right.
But to go fast, you've got Vanellix, the one of the two Hail Setters. Well, I guess three. Obama Snow exists. You've got Vanellix with Choice Scarf, Snow Warning, 4 HP, 252 Special Attack, 252 Special Attack, Timid Nature with Blizzard, Icy Wind, Freeze Dry, and Beat Up, because what would this team be if you didn't have more options?
I guess that leads us into Terrakion holding its White Herb, just in case you get intimidated. Or you could get bulldozed by one of, like, three Pokemon on this team.
Yeah.
And get your speed back. Just in case. Anyways, you got Justified, so you get Beat Up. You get a massive attack boost. Where EVs are 4 HP, max attack, 36 defense, 4 special defense, 212 speed. I'm sure that's hitting something in, like, the 105 range. It's probably outspeeding yes. Garchomp. That's my guess.
Probably.
Because you're a jolly nature.
Probably.
It's like, what's, like, 5 base points slower? I think that's Garchomp. Rock Slide, Close Combat, Taunt, and Protect. And then we'll go with Spectre next. It doesn't have as much synergy with everything else on the team because it's a Spectre and doesn't have moves. But
I think Spectre is honestly the weak link on this team. I'll be completely honest. I think you could probably swap it out with something, a different special attacker.
Probably could.
Yeah, it's got a really good speed stat, and if it ever gets going, I guess that's really cool. It has Snarl Spam, I guess. But anyways, max special attack, max speed, Timid Nature, Shadow Ball, because you're a Spectre and that's all you have, Snarl, because that's your coverage that you have, Bulldoze, because you can activate Weakness Policy on one of the Pokemon on this team with it, and Tail Whip, because we ran out of moves because we're a Spectre.
I didn't realize that Tail Whip.
Yeah.
I Protect. I'll be honest.
It has a tail.
That's funny. I like that. I like that meme. That's good.
It has no moves. That defines Spectre.
Right?
It's like you gave it 130 speed, you gave it Special Moxie, but did you give it a move pool? No. You have Shadow Ball and Mud Slap.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then next we have Metagross with Weakness Policy. This is why everything has Bulldoze.
Yes, everything has Bulldoze.
it doesn't lose speed, so it's okay.
Because yeah. It's got Clear Body. And it is an adamant nature with 108 HP, 252 attack, 4 defense, 4 special defense, and 140 speed. With Iron Head, Earthquake, Bullet Punch, Protect. So you're just going with Stab, Priority, and then just EQ. Because Bulldoze wasn't enough for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then after that, got Entei with a Shookaberry, Berry, I assume to reduce the damage from Bulldoze. Inner Focus with 252 attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed, Jolly Nature with Sacred Fire. Oh, look at that, Bulldoze. Extreme Speed and Protect.
I don't know that you need this many Pokemon.
No, you
boulders.
Need the gimmick to work.
I'm gonna go out there and
it's
say
it's fun speed control when it doesn't matter that your partner gets hit.
You have Arctozolt. You need the speed control.
Oh yeah, but gosh. You're gonna hit Arctozolt too.
Arctozolt has Bulldoze.
Yes, yeah, it needs its own speed control.
Oh god. The whole thing's nuts. The whole thing's crazy. This team's just nuts because it's just like, I can do a thing with all of these, with no matter what two Pokemon are on the field together, something will happen.
Unless it's Spectre.
That's what I really do like about it. It's just like, everything works.
Except Spectre with its Tail Whip.
It's got Bulldoze, it's fine.
It's got Tail Whip because it's just like, I don't have four moves.
It's fine. Tail Whip is a fine move. It makes Bulldoze hit harder.
Oh god, it's so
the Pokemon
it's
the episode
so
was, wasn't
bad.
Arctozolt, it's actually Bulldoze. I'm sorry that we lied to you again.
Bulldoze. Bulldoze was the Pokemon of the episode.
The real Pokemon of the episode is Bulldoze. What TM is it? What TM is that?
If you would like to use this team, it'll be up on the Discord server later this week. Wait, it's fun to play. I don't know if it's good, but it's fun.
It should be fun to watch Claude and P. McGee play it on the ladder too, so.
It is fun. It is, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if it's good, but it's fun. It's good fun. There's that. I mean, it's a good, I've played a few matches with it because I'm trying to be better about it and actually play with the team of the episode beforehand. And you can really get some things going. You always have some kind of option unless you bring Spectre. Like I said, I think Spectre is honestly the weakest link. I think you could replace it with something else that's a special attacker. You don't need more Bulldoze. You don't need a third Bulldoze user. You can probably just do something else.
I bet it deals real well with enemy Metagross.
It probably does. But I feel like, aren't there other good ghost types? There's other good, like, Dragapult exists.
It's more of a physical attacker, really, though.
Kind. I mean, you can still make a special attack.
It's not on the level of Spectre or special attack, though, is the issue.
I still think Spectre is a... I think it definitely is there for the Metagross, because Metagross kind of just tears through everything else that's not that Spectre.
Yeah, Metagross is like in the top 5 Pokemon of the meta. Maybe top 3,
yes.
I think. So.
Yeah, Metagross is really good. Metagross is good. I'm happy to see that, too, and it not being Mega Metagross.
Like, Arctozolt does real well against Feeny. That's great.
Mm-hmm. It does. Oh my gosh. That's so true, though. It does tear through Feeny.
What's a Tapu Feeny to an Arctozolt? Which is...
It's Boltbeak fodder.
Exactly. Like, I
even
imagine...
without like any investment in the attack stat, it's just like, I eat you.
Mm-hmm.
I eat you. It's great. I mean, I definitely suggest playing it. I don't suggest taking it to a tournament, but I suggest playing it.
It seems like a fun evening is just picking up this.
It is a fun time. It is a fun time. Maybe it'll beat Shamu if you need the
Maybe.
Badge.
I probably could, actually.
Honestly, it's got so many things, it could probably beat me, too. It could probably beat almost all of us if you play it right.
Like, you miss the prediction, you just kind of lose to some of these leads.
All right, but on that note, we are going to kick it on over to the mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails. Mail!
And welcome to the mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where we read listener emails that you send in to pucklepodcast@gmail.com. It's a fantastic way to get your voice right on the show. It's also brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves! There, I did it, Bo. I know Shamu wasn't going to, but I did it.
Shamu doesn't have to.
I'm not lying.
I know. He's contractually
it's
okay
in his
with
contract.
It.
It's in his contract. And so, yeah, we read listener emails on the show here. Typically, we have a prompt. Last week, we asked you guys what you thought of Pokemon Go going to level 50, and I'm excited to read your emails. So this one, is, if your email is good, we'll give you the Green Tauros badge, blah, blah, blah. Our first email this week is going to be from Mark. And oh wait, this is from last week. This is last week's email. We already read this.
Oh,
never mind. Not Mark. We are gonna go ahead and we're just gonna start with Sari.
Howdy, y'all. Hope you all aren't freezing your butts off. Thank y'all, possibly, or thank y'all for possibly having me. So yeah, we're reading. That said,
we are reading you, Sari. We are.
It'll be cold by the time this episode comes out. I think
it was cold today.
It's like mid-40s for me.
It was, but it was like mid-40s with clouds. It was chilly.
Yeah, I know. It's mid-40s like all week this week, and then mid-30s next week, and that's like...
Next week we have snow forecasted for Monday.
I saw that. I mean, we had snow like last weekend, too.
I didn't have snow. I want snow. I like snow.
I had a dusting. But anyways, let's continue. Pokemon Go, I honestly think, in a lot of ways, has overstayed its welcome in the eyes of many. However, I do think that they're making an effort to bring back some excitement for the game. The new level cap is one of the reasons. I don't think that most people will ever get to the point where they even get to experience the tasks and ridiculous grind to get to level 50. Getting to 40 is hard enough, and practically impossible on a reasonable level if you aren't either spending money or living in a city. Yeah.
That's true. That's so true, though.
The city helps a lot with,
If you don't live in a city, you're screwed.
Yeah. Rural Pokemon Go players could... At least they have gifts now to get their Pokeballs.
Yes.
But before, they were just not able to play. Then, eh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think reaching level 50 will be a status symbol for some people, and that's fun. But I do think there should be more opportunities for low-level players to have a chance to reach those content barriers. But then again, I don't really want to do most of the tasks they're requiring anyway. It's just more grinding. Overall, I think it's just a thing they did. I don't believe it will affect the quality of the game or the player base, but it is nice for high-level players who are wanting new challenges. That's about all I have to say about that. Hope y'all are doing well, and sorry if my email is dry. That's just how I handle them. All the best, Sari, PhD Pokemon Ecology, self-appointed. Non-Green Tauros soldier.
That's the best way to tell us you don't have the Green Tauros badge, BT Dubs.
It's pretty good.
Not writing a paragraph complaining about it. I definitely think that, I don't know that 50 even breathes life into it. because it's so hard to get to. I think it breathes life into, I think it's literally a move that caters to the whales.
Yeah.
The people who have been level 40 for like 2 years already. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not really breathing life.
Yep. I don't know that it breathes life into the game more as much as it just, I don't know. It's just giving you a larger way to look at it. I don't know. Because there are people who have like 4 or 5 times the experience you need to be at level 20.
Yeah.
Or level 40. And I don't even know if it'll get them to level 50, to be honest, looking at the experience curve that's happening right now. Because right now, I think the latest that we had was from 45 to 46. It's 15 and a half million experience points.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, like if you've only done it like 3 times, you might not make it to level 50.
Yeah.
Which I assume is their goal, is to make those players not all just like instantly go to level 50.
I'd imagine so. Plus, a lot of those tasks are long, too, like doing X number mm-hmm. of raids. Ugh.
Yep. I mean, I imagine at this point, for somebody like us, it would just be like, oh, yeah, I did those while I was leveling up, and so I hit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I might hit 40 by the end of the year. I don't expect to, but I might.
I don't play enough to do that, so. All right, our next one is going to be from Mutton. Shamu, you've got this one.
To infinity and beyond! Speaking of the filthy casual, that sounds like an adequate description of how much experience it's going to take to get to level 50, much less beyond.
That is the best line I've heard about this scenario.
Ultimately, I guess it could be worse. Niantic could be wringing out pockets like a sopping wet sponge for content. I think at this point, the only thing that could rekindle the childlike glee I had for Go would be the reintroduction of the footstep system, and that I don't foresee.
I don't think that's ever coming back, honestly, just because of the legal ramifications.
It caused so much trespassing, too, and I never found anything with it.
Yeah,
it was not a good time for everyone else.
I like the current system. It's like, go to this Pokestop and you'll find this Pokemon.
It's better. It's definitely better than like, hey, if I go in this person's backyard, I can find a Pikachu.
Go has been doing fine maintaining relevancy with their current player base, but I do suspect there will be plenty of fall-off with introduction of transfer. To bring people back, they're going to need to have some sort of a hook. Maybe some previously shiny locked events and raids, maybe make the game more viable for people in rural areas, maybe tone down the outright monetization. Record profits coupled with record low player base doesn't sound like a sustainable business model. Like, honestly, like...
That I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, like, honestly, the whole, like, go at home was really... I enjoyed that a lot. That was the most... This is the most I've played Go in a long time since launch, is during COVID.
I don't... I absolutely agree. During quarantine, when, like, I couldn't go to work, I played so much more Go. I also exercised a lot more as a result as well. Because I was just, like... I would take a break from working from home to, like, go out for a walk to play Go for, like, an hour. And then I'd come back and do more work and then... Rinse, repeat.
Yeah. Either way, I'll always love Pokemon, and I'll always play the related game, be it main series or not, and my intention wasn't to turn this into a rant, but here we are. Probably Mutton.
I thought you were trying to be sassy and be like, you did start a rant, though. All right, so I will read this last one from Quincy. He says, hey, Puckle Crew, Quincy here. Last week was the end of my first marking period, so I didn't get much time to write in an email about my future expectations. Also, I forgot last week's prompt, so there's that. I recently finished my 100% run of Breath of the Wild, including finding all 900 Korok seeds. That's not Pokemon. I don't care about you playing Breath of the Wild. I care about you playing Pokemon.
Osh will care, maybe.
Is this Osh? Is this you?
I don't know. Is he going to listen to the mailbag? We'll find out.
Playing such a beautiful game has raised my expectations for a video game greatly. So now my dream for the future is some sort of open world game playing out an adventure as portrayed in the anime, including your very own Paw Patrol-esque suit-up sequence when you join the Ultra Whatever Squad in Alola and go save youngster Joey from a rabid Caterpie. You'll still have a story sequences whenever you crest a hill and see a gleaming Megalopolis in the valley below, but most of your journey will go at the pace you want it to go at. And you'll be able to go anywhere at any time as long as you're smart enough to find an alternate path there. So the problem is, Pokemon doesn't work. Like, any system, any game that's based on leveling, doesn't work well in this kind of format. And I don't think people realize that. The reason Breath of the Wild works is because you physically just got better at the game as time went on.
Mm-hmm.
and you also you like gained your heart, so you had better stamina. That's about it. Like, I think that's something that people don't realize right away, is that you can't take a system based on leveling and just throw it in Breath of the Wild. It doesn't work that way. I apologize if I shot down people's dreams. I think you can do it. I think you just do it like you just make the next game Crown Tundra all the way. You put little towns and sprinkle them in the wild area. But I digress. It would also be cool to have some sort of stables in Zelda, hidden safe havens where you come and rest up, buy and sell things. You really just want Zelda. You just want to play Zelda. Get directions, interact with others. And yeah, just a Pokemon Center that's a little less technology advanced and out of place. Literally, he just wants Zelda. This is what I'm reading right now. He just wants Zelda. He doesn't want Pokemon. He wants Zelda. Hopefully the game would be a bit more realistic as well. Your character will respond to what other people say, and Pokemon will have emotions, like Ash's Charizard in the anime. For example, you find a shiny blue Bisharp in command of roaming army of Ponyard, and you Master Ball it. Those Ponyard are going to be livid at losing their leaders, and you'll have to defeat all of them in a horde battle, or you've wasted your Master Ball. Pokemon can't do horde battles anymore.
No. I already hate SOS battles again. I know.
Well, they just can't handle the graphical processing that it would take.
I can't handle the salt I'm feeling right now with SOS battles already. And it's been like a week of having to deal with it partially.
An adamant nature Pokemon will be stubborn and more difficult to catch, and a brave one has the chance to not go back into it. That sounds awful. Basing catch rate on nature? No, thank you.
That sounds like adding...
I don't like more RNG to the game.
That's too much coding, I feel, for that.
Yeah. It's not even that it's too much coding. It's just like, that's a bad...
Unnecessary RNG. Yeah. Like, I already hated going back and catching the legends with the 3 catch rate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Imagine making that worth with a Beast Ball.
Yeah, right?
I feel bad we're tearing this apart, but like at the same time.
No, we should not go down to 3 catch rate anymore. Catch rate should be bottomed out at 10.
Yes.
Like the doggos.
For my sanity.
And a brave one has a chance to not want to go back in his Pokeball and stay and fight. No, that sounds absolutely awful. You won't necessarily have the luck to be the millionth customer of the bike shop. You'll have to save up your money. Okay. As for the gyms and the different challenges throughout the game, there would be 4 main challenges. Obviously, the gyms, Battle Frontier. I giggle because Battle Frontier is not coming back. And also 3 or 4 different evil teams, each trying to catch one of the 3 legendaries of the region. The Elite 4, maybe more, would be like the Timeless in Pokemon Insurgents. What? You can't just like throw out references. You can't throw out references to a ROM hack that most people haven't played though. A collection of powerful trainers pulled from their spots in time to be the final frontier. It would probably consist of Gold, Brendan, Steven Stone, Zinnia, Dawn, Sharon. This sounds like a bad fanfic. This is what I'm reading right now. Sharon. This is also a giant list. Sharon, Serena, Howe, Elaine, not Hop, too weak. Maybe Peony. Their leader, of course, would be Red. You just listed off like 20 characters.
What do you mean Hop's too weak? He has Zamazenta as option.
Right?
He's the one rival with an actual legendary.
He's like the strongest trainer in the series.
Yeah. And so in this incredibly long email, which took me 47 minutes to write, I've described my biggest dream for the future of Pokemon. By future of Pokemon, you mean just Breath of the Wild. You just want Breath of the Wild. Or at least the more unique changes Mega Flygon and bringing back Soaring are given. Signing off for now, Quincy. I feel bad for tearing his email apart, but like I think there needs to be something like reasonable expectations for Pokemon, because this is the kind of stuff that like hits people being upset at what the next Pokemon game is going to be, because the next Pokemon game is not going to be this.
No, like I said, I'd be down if they wanted to make remakes 2D. Like, people like retro games, and that would be easier on them.
Honestly, I think remakes, the way you handle them, is you just re-release the old one, with maybe, like, a couple of lifestyle changes.
I would prefer that. I understand that re-releasing DS games is a pain in the butt, and those games need remade, right? Like, they integrated touchscreen too much. They need fixed. That's how it goes. I am perfectly down with Gens 1 through 3 just getting straight up ported. It's like, here's the game.
Yeah.
It's on an emulator. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely.
We added wireless.
Absolutely. Maybe we get your Auras DX.
Yes, give it to me. I want it.
But I don't mean to rip your email apart. It's just that I think having unreasonable expectations in Pokemon is just bad for the community as a whole, and then everybody gets really upset when things happen.
Yeah, I generally set my expectations.
And this is definitely something that's like way beyond and honestly, very practically just not possible. I think it's just too much in terms of that. I think my mind, honestly, at this point, my dream Pokemon game is one with all of the Pokemon in it. As depressing as that sounds. Because, I realize I've been playing Digimon Cyber Sleuth the past 24 hours. And I realized how much, like, the reason those games don't succeed. And honestly, the best reason I can give for the reason those games don't succeed outside of bad gameplay is the fact that their creatures lists are so inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Digimon will never hit like the high that Pokemon will. And I think Pokemon needs to lean into that more and remember that to have just like go back to the core and be like, complete creature list is what we need. We'll see what the future holds. But Green Tauros badge, I am all for giving it to Sari for having nice paragraph breaks or even Mutton.
Either or. I'm fine with both.
I'm fine with Sari. I read it.
Yeah, Sari gets the Green Tauros badge. Woo woo. On that note, if you want to email us next week at no Siri, I didn't say Siri. If you would like to email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com next week, let us know how do you think Gen 8's changed competitive? Let us know at pucklepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, make sure you check out all of our social media over at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr. Make sure that you keep up with us over on the Discord. Make sure that you follow us over on Twitch and on YouTube. If you want to support the show, you can go over to Twitch, drop a Twitch Prime subscription. You can also go ahead and buy a shirt over at TeePublic, or you can support us over at patreon.com/pucklepodcast to get cool perks. Unfortunately, I don't get badges anymore because I turned that off because it was a November special. But you can get Breederbot and a bunch of cool extra shinies throughout the advent calendar. That the norms don't get. So keep that in mind. On that note, though, I have been Trainer Thatch.
I've been Shamu.
And I've been Arsene.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.